Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Andrew Raycroft, who predicted the Bruins' comeback the other night on the Nesson broadcast, which I was impressed by. He joins us right now here on WEEI Afternoons. Razor, how we doing?
Wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Doing just great. Big news here today. Jim Montgomery has broken by Keefe around 1:45 today, and we've been talking about it all day long, and it actually happened, so we didn't end up looking stupid. But yeah, Jim Montgomery out. You talked to us before the season started. We talked about him being a lame duck coach. You told us that there was a lot of love for Montgomery in that room. Is that something that over these 20 games persisted? Are they going to be upset that this is happening in that locker room? How do you think this is going to land with this team?
Well, I mean, the guys got to look at themselves in the mirror now. I mean, no one was playing up to expectations, and they didn't perform well enough. And in this game, the coach, or pro sports for that matter, but especially hockey, two and a half years is the shelf life of most guys. And unfortunately, the Bruins didn't get off to the start they needed, wanted to, and you lose the way they did last night with the schedule that's ahead of them. You need to make change and get back into the mix here.
If I agree with what you're saying there, isn't firing the coach at this point kind of letting players off the hook a little bit?
No, I think it's the opposite, because if you continue to let Monty coach, listen, they were very, very patient. I know you guys have been hearing fire Monty for about 4 weeks now, because I know I've heard it. Yep. And I've been continually to say, you got to be patient, got to be patient. And they lost to Dallas 7-2. Everyone, fire Monty, fire Monty. But they looked at this run at home, and they looked at this run in the schedule where it was a little bit softer, and they had a tough schedule, and they're 500, so they had an opportunity to turn around. And you lose to a team you should beat at home on a Saturday afternoon in overtime against St. Louis with the lead in the third period. And then what happened last night, it's just it's hard to recover with all that's happened prior to this. And I think that's where the axe comes down. Listen, the Bruins have scored one goal in the third period all season long at home. So that's not ideal. And there's other underlying. They're the second worst team in goal differential in the National Hockey League. So there's it's not just I don't think the players are going to be let off the hook. I think if anything, that the light shines brighter on them now.
Is there a disconnect, or was there a disconnect between Jim Montgomery and the players? I mean, it's hard to look at a roster where basically 90% of the players are underperforming, underachieving, and not look at the coach. Like, how do you come to grips with that? What the hell happened to start this year?
Listen, the players will know that. On the outside, you never know that. But I was just saying. I was around for coaches getting fired, and as players, you can kind of look back at that one moment where it was like, all right, this guy's lost the room. And I'm assuming that happened in this situation, just in hindsight of the way the last few weeks have gone. But I didn't see it from the outside. I didn't see one moment that said, oh, this is big trouble. I believe that they were going to turn it around with Monty. I thought they were going to hit their stride, but The special teams are at the bottom of the league. Their defensive structure, like you guys just said, looks like a shell of what we've been used to seeing. And those have been staples. Those have been automatics for the Bruins. So, again, at the end of the day, it is the players that are playing. But like we know, coaches are the – you can't fire 20 players. It's the oldest cliche in sports, but it's the truth. And in this case, Monty's the one that has to pay for it.
You can't fire the players. That's true. You can fire the guy who put the roster together. This is a team that won 100 and plus whatever game. I don't know, 120 games. You tweeted it out today. I forget the exact record, but this was a team that seemed like it was on track to, at the very least, maintain sort of the status quo with the Bruins of having a good regular season and then kind of flaming out in the playoffs. That suddenly changed here after one offseason. Do you look at Don Sweeney and the moves that he made here for Lindholm, for Zadorov, for Jones, for some of these guys who aren't even with the team anymore or down in Providence? Is that something that you think has contributed to this?
I don't. I thought they were awesome moves. I thought that's exactly what they needed. I was listening. You guys were talking about, yeah, they got bigger and they got slower. Well, I heard nothing but cries of they need to be bigger last year in the playoffs against Florida, or the year before when they lost. Well, you got to get rid of Grizzlick. He's too small on the back end. They need bigger, stronger defensemen like Nikita Zadorov. And then they go and get him, and now that doesn't work either. So I think they're still built very well. I think they have a bunch of guys that should be performing and playing better than they are. And as players and as individuals, I think they should be better than they are. And so no, I think this group's still really good. I think they've had a bad start. They had a bad, bad run and mentally have had to deal with it. And they're hoping, Liz, I guess I use the word hope, but I think inside the room, these guys are going to have to recognize that up next is big changes within the locker room. So they better go. Better get some wins.
Do you think management was complicit in this start with the not giving Montgomery an extension during the offseason, coming off 200-point seasons and a playoff series win?
Well, that's part of this story. I don't know. I don't want to say complicit because I don't know what the inner workings were, but I'm positive that the outside noise wouldn't be clamoring for Monty to be fired 4 weeks into the season if he had another year on his contract.
Right.
So that's certainly a part of this puzzle. I don't think there's blame on either side. I don't think that, but it is part of this. I don't think we'd be taught. I know we wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have been hearing about fire Monty 3 or 4 weeks ago if he had another year on his deal, just because of the record that we just talked about that he has in the regular season. It is a piece of this puzzle, no question.
Is Joe Sacco going to be a placeholder? I know he's an interim coach. Do you think that gets converted? I mean, do you think that there's a chance that this sparks this team and that he can turn things around?
I think, yeah, no question. He was a Jack Adams finalist as well in Colorado, 12, 13 years ago when he got his first head coaching job. He's been here for 11 years. He just got the associate bump in the summer, which is kind of interesting at this point as well. So Joe is really well-respected. What changes, right? The assistant coach, and this is where those relationships and the guys that have been struggling – they've gone to Joe all season long. They've gone to Joe the last few years. He really knows these guys on probably more of a personal level than a head coach does. Head coach is taking care of everything. Associate, assistant coach is on the ice, in pregame skates, on optional skates, trying to help the guys that are in and out of the lineup. So he knows these guys really well. He knows what makes them tick, and I think he will be able to communicate just a little bit differently. And again, he's been a head coach in the league. He has his own views that will be different from what Monty was doing. They're probably very, very small and very nuanced, but that could be all that this team needs. Because again, you guys spelled it out. Not much has changed. They were very good just 6 months ago. They got to the second round of the playoffs. They shouldn't be where they are now. And I think, having an internal audit is better than going and get someone from the outside.
We're talking with Andrew Raycroft, Ness and WEEI. Razor, where do you start if you're Sacco? Because right now you have bottom of the barrel special teams, bottom of the barrel scoring, bottom of the barrel goaltending, like in the NHL. Which one of those things do you sort of take on first?
Yeah, we had Berge on the Allcast last night, yeah. and just kind of talking with him, who is the most largest voice of reason that any of us can have. He talked about the defensive zone. The defensive zone structure has been an absolute staple. So you start with that, because that's probably the easiest thing to kind of clean up and really drill into as well. Make it simple. Pick one thing, do that really well, and then move on to the other things. And the other thing is special teams. I mean, it's been an automatic that this team is in the top 10, let alone the top 5 in both categories, penalty kill and power play, for as long as I've been covering the team, as long as I came back from playing. And that's number 2. But certainly defensive zone structure, probably a little neutral zone structure, getting back to not allowing open opportunities, get connected in their own zone, and then special teams. That's where I start.
So you acknowledge that the failure to give Montgomery an extension is at least a piece to the puzzle here of the poor start. The negotiations...
No, not the poor start. The fact that everyone talked about him getting fired.
Okay. Well, so adding the spotlight to the poor start, maybe, along those lines. But do you believe with Swayman, who has been a part of the poor start, who hasn't been good, do you believe the negotiations and the dragging their feet and getting that done late is contributing to the way he's playing right now? Or is that more about what you just talked about? Is it the D zone and what's going on in front of him? What do you think is going on with Swayman?
Well, it's certainly what's going on in front of him. It's the fact that PK, up until that game in Dallas, he 5-on-5, he had one of the best save percentages in the National Hockey League. I don't know what it was. I haven't checked it since the last, but he gave up 12 goals in the last 2 starts, so I'm assuming he's dropped out of the top 10. I haven't looked tonight. But it was the PK that was killing him. There was that game last Tuesday, he played great, but he gave up 2 power play goals that are wristers from the point that hit him and then find the backside. So his numbers have dropped because of the PK. The narrative is, and I know I've talked about this on the radio or wherever, is the narrative changes when you sign an 8-year, $8 million contract. Like, it just automatically does. You have a monster bullseye on your back. You are a lightning rod that is taller than everybody else on the team because you're now the starting goalie. And so he's going to take that. He has to take the brunt of this when, in 2 games, you've given up 12 goals in 1 week. And the other thing we talked about is he's never been the guy who had to fight through this kind of a stretch on his own. He always had someone else in his pro career. He never really did it in the AHL. And the reason they signed him for 8 years is because he has an amazing character. He's incredibly proud. He works really hard, and he's super talented. So he's going to fight through this, but there is a learning curve on this because it's just different. I've been the guy that carried people's clubs around for the season as a backup, but I've also been the guy that had to figure out how to work through some of my struggles while still playing. And it's hard. It's different. But I'm sure he will get through it, but I'm also sure this is part of having higher expectations. It's just human nature to try too hard at certain times.
Razor, you alluded to now that the coach has been fired, that there's going to be a spotlight on the players in the locker room. In the event that things don't turn around, the trade deadline's in March. Do you see wholesale changes potentially being made?
Well, for the sake of that question, I would think yes. I don't think the Bruins are very happy with where they're at right now. I think this organization is extremely proud of their record over the last 10 years and their ability to make the playoffs year after year after year. And they make changes when they feel like it's not there. And they pulled the first valve, and that's the coach. The next valve is reconstructing and figuring out what's not working within the players they have in the dressing room.
This is totally a hypothetical, but do you think that's going to become an issue, or do you think this will spark something? I think when we talked to you at Scores, I think you said you thought this team could win a couple rounds in the playoffs, and if things went right, maybe even go further than that. Do you think that reality can still be accomplished?
I do, of course, because the playoffs in the National Hockey League are different than the NBA or different than the NFL, where you have a pretty good idea of who the best teams are. The Celtics are the best team. They have the best two players in the league, or two of the best duo. They have the best bench, etc. You can look at that and say that's going to go through. The Stanley Cup playoffs, you get in. I feel like this team's built better for the Stanley Cup playoffs. They have to prove that by getting in, and there's a long way to that. But there's no doubt that they can't get a bump from this. They can't go on a run. At some point, I said it 2 weeks ago when Monty was struggling and the team was struggling. I still think this group is going to win 8 in a row at some point, and they're going to go on a good run and feel good about themselves. And so no, none of that's changed for me. I'm disappointed for Monty and his family and just what the guys are going through right now, but it doesn't really change the end game. It's not like they're 0-20 and have no chance of making the playoffs. They're still in the mix.
Did Monty lose the room?
I don't know. I didn't get the vibe. I was with the team all last week. I thought they were working through it. I thought they were trying. I thought they were all compete. Like, I even watching the game last night, I thought they competed. I thought the captain was working really hard. Nothing was executing on the power play. I'm not making an excuse for that, but usually when you talk about losing the room, you lose guys' effort. I thought they have lost their execution at certain times, but I didn't see an effort lost anywhere. But when you get fired, you lose the room. So whether he did or it was taken from him, he's lost the room.
All right, Andrew Raycroft, thanks so much for the time. Impromptu joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.